Our study this morning is in Psalm 106, verses 1 through 48, confession of sin based on God's faithful record to forgive. God repeatedly, faithfully forgives his people, and that gives them hope in confessing their current sins to him. Well, Psalm 106 recalls God's faithful record to forgive Israel as hope for confessing present sin. And of course, we can apply it. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace. We thank you for your watch care over us and for the way the Spirit of God uses the Word of God on our hearts and lives and the way the Spirit of God equips us to live the Word. We're so grateful for that. We ask, Father, that as we get into the ministry of the Word this morning, that we would understand the text, understand its application, and use it in the name of Jesus. And for his sake, we pray. Amen. Psalm 106, I'll read it in the King James Version, then we'll look at it. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yet they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, also at the that went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit so that he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the Gentiles and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto demons, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring after them with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the land of the Gentiles, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought unto subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant. and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carry them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting unto everlasting, and let all the people say Amen. Praise ye the Lord, or in Hebrews, Hallelujah. Hallelujahweh is the full form of that. Okay, the verses in this psalm in the Hebrew text are numbered like those in the English Bible, so we're just staying with the English Bible's numbering system with this lesson. And so I'd like to give the translation in the Hebrew text. Verse 1, praise Yahweh. Give thanks to Yahweh because he is good, because his loyal love is eternal. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of Yahweh or fully declare his praise? Blessed are they who maintain justice, who constantly do what is right. Remember me, Yahweh, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and joy in your inheritance in giving praise. We have sinned, even as our fathers did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. But he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea and dried it up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries, but none of them survived. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his counsel. In the desert they gave in to their craving. In the wasteland they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease upon them. In the camp they grew envious of Moses and Aaron, who was consecrated to Yahweh. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It buried the company of Abiram. Fire blazed among their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. At Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glory for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles on the land of Ham and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his promise. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey Yahweh. So he swore to them with an uplifted hand that he would make them fall in the desert, make their descendants fall among the nations and scatter them throughout the lands. They yoked themselves unto Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to lifeless gods. They provoked Yahweh by their wicked deeds, and a plague broke out among them. But Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was checked. This was credited to him as righteousness for endless generations to come. By the waters of Meribah they angered Yahweh, and trouble came to Moses because of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, and rash words came from Moses' lips. They did not destroy the peoples as Yahweh had commanded them, but they associated with the nations and learned their works. They worshipped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. They defiled themselves by what they had worked. By their deeds they prostituted themselves. Therefore Yahweh was angry with his people and abhorred his inheritance. He handed them over to the nations, and their foes ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and subjected them to their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion and wasted away in their sin. But he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant, and out of his great loyal love he relented. He caused them to be pitied by all who held them captive. Save us, O Yahweh, our Elohim, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, from eternity to eternity. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise Yahweh. So the lesson is God's faithful record in always giving and forgiving repentant Israel is our reason to hope that he will forgive us today. There are a couple things we want to keep in mind here. First of all, notice the many times that Israel sinned and needed to repent. In verses 6 through 12, the deliverance from Egypt. They sinned, and so the Lord had to forgive them. And then when they got out of Egypt, after they crossed the Red Sea, the issue of food in the wilderness. They complained about food, so the Lord sent them, first of all, quail, which was a delicacy. So what did they do? They ate the quail, and they were so lustful for the quail, they ate it without cooking it. And so God judged them for that. And then the Lord sent them manna, and it took a couple of judgments before they could get the manna correctly. They were supposed to eat the manna throughout the week, and then on Friday they were supposed to pick up twice as much, and God would give twice as much, and then they were not supposed to go out on Sabbath and so forth. It took a while for people to get that right. Then they rebelled against his leaders. They were jealous of Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. There was idolatry. Even when Moses was up on Mount Sinai talking with the Lord, they make this idol of gold, and it was ridiculous. But anyway, at Kadesh, they didn't believe the Lord. They didn't go into the land, and so the Lord had to deal with them there. Baal Peor, this is the Midianites, and they were involved in immorality, and Phinehas went into the tent. He took a spear and pierced it through the man and the woman as they were committing immorality in that situation. So the Lord made him and his line the permanent priests. At the waters of Meribah, the people complained, so Moses got irritated with them, and then Moses himself was judged not to be able to go into the land. There was apostasy in Canaan. It was just dreadful. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. In fact, the first one to do that was actually Solomon, king. So we're going to find that out. Solomon actually sacrificed his own sons to the god Molech, and this would be to demons. And then with all of that, God kept forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. So there's always grounds for God to forgive us. Look how he forgave Israel, and that's the whole point. Now, as we go through this, you'll notice there's a tremendous polemic on idolatry and idols here. Back in verse 20, they exchanged their glory for the image of a bull which eats grass. It's interesting. Worshipping a bull and it eats grass. It shows the futility of idols and idolatry, and that's the picture that is here. Also, verse 28, they yoked themselves to Baal Peor and ate sacrifices offered to lifeless gods. Imagine sacrificing to a god that doesn't even exist. He's lifeless, and yet they did it. Verse 36, their idols became a snare to them. Verse 37, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. Imagine that. Your own children, these would be infant boys and girls, would be sacrificed to these idols in the flame. And the blood of their sons and daughters they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was desecrated by their blood. And by their deeds they prostituted themselves. Now, spiritually, when we worship false gods, that's seen as spiritual prostitution. But in those days, physical prostitution accompanied this spiritual prostitution as well there. They were known for having false gods, and there were pagan prostitutes. There were male prostitutes and female prostitutes, so there was a lot of wickedness that occurred in that whole area. But this is it demonstrates the futility of false idols. Now, we would never think of going into that form of wickedness today. But believe it or not, idols are still a problem to us today. Anything we use as a crutch in place of God is actually an idol. So it could be money in the bank account. It could be a certain personality or group. So anything that we use in place of the Lord himself is an idol. And a lot of our idols are very subtle. They don't come right back up at us. I mean, we're not carving an image and bowing down and worshiping that carven image. But I have to be very, very careful. I, for one, found that I had an idol, and that's the game Sudoku. All right? That's the number where you're supposed to fill in numbers 1 through 9 in each row and each column and so forth. And I find that it was so captivating, I could get absolutely lost in that. And it was, very enticing intellectually, to especially the more difficult ones. And I found that it was entrapping, and the Lord really convicted me about it, so I had to back away from it. Once in a while, I'll play the game just to, you know, for a mental exercise and whatnot, but I can't go out and buy a book of Sudoku, because I'll get lost in it for hours. You know, get bonkers on it. So that became an idol, and the Lord convicted me of, so I had to get away from that. So we've got idols today that we've got to watch out for. But the good thing to keep in mind is that God is a forgiving God. If we confess our sins, the Bible tells us, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithful means He's always going to do it. Jesus told His disciples when they asked, should we forgive my brother 7 times? They thought that was, you know, the 8th time you'll have to forgive him. Jesus said 70 times 7. Not to say that you're supposed to stop at 490, but the idea is whenever your brother confesses, whenever he repents, you forgive him. Because that's what God does to us. Think of the times that we have sinned before the Lord. We have a communion service, all right? In every communion service, we talk about examining ourselves, and we take 15 seconds set aside to, you know, examine ourselves and so forth. And we fully believe that God will forgive, even if we've been involved in habitual sin, because 1 John 1:9 says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the beauty. A lot of times when we sin, we're actually doing a couple of things wrong that we're not even aware of. We're aware of one thing, but because of our immaturity, there may be 3 or 4 other things out down the road. Well, God goes ahead and He cleans all that up. And in His grace, until we get to the point where we can mature, we understand what these other things are. So God is faithful and just to forgive us. I know I debated as to whether I should put all 48 verses here, because it doesn't allow much room for discussion. It just has one line for the lesson. But I felt that the Word of God is so important here. Putting all those times that God had forgiven Israel down is important, because that's the point. God forgave him doing this, He forgave him doing that, forgave him doing this, that, this and that, this and that, and on. And they even committed their children unto demons, worshiping demons, killing them in the fire and so forth, and yet God still forgave them. So if that can happen, the forgiveness of God is great. If there's genuine repentance, He will always forgive. This also implies eternal security. There are some, especially in Protestant circles of the charismatic movement, who say that, you know, there are certain sins that are unforgivable. If you commit them, God won't forgive you, and so forth. They mix it up with a statement that Jesus made, that this sin will not be forgiven, the sin of claiming that Jesus, by doing His miracles on earth, was doing those by the power of Satan rather than the Holy Spirit. That wouldn't be forgiven that generation, because God was not offering any other proof that Jesus was the Messiah other than His miracles. So to say that His miracles were not done by God but done by Satan meant that there was no more opportunity for forgiveness, because that was the last straw as far as what God was giving to prove Himself. But there are not unforgivable sins today. God forgives murder. He forgives a parent sacrificing his child to demons. If that's what He does, He forgives. That also implies eternal security. Salvation is something that God doesn't give to you and then, your life isn't good enough, I'm going to take it back. That's not the way God operates. When you're born into the family of God, you're born a child of God. And once a child of God, you're always a child of God. The child might die and be buried, but guess what? On his tombstone, he still has the name of his parents, because he was that parent's child. And so we're always children of God. And that's the beautiful thing. We're sealed with the Spirit of God unto eternity. Okay, I've done a lot of talking here this morning, but I'm going to turn it over to you. If you've got some questions on this lesson, that's fine. We'll seek to answer from the Word of God. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else, you can bring it up. Yeah, Sue. So.